The contents of this podcast might refer to information that has changed since the moment of its recording. Follow us on Twitter at Project Noom to keep up with our latest updates.
Tonight is going to be just a fun, before all the craziness happens for the next bull run, which is a long way off, just if anybody's wondering. We're going to take a few, just some time tonight to talk about some crypto best practices and just a little bit of educational content. And this one, Pritesh, is going to be gold because this is part of his bread and butter of what he does. So, and at the end, we can talk a little bit, I think, about what you have coming down the pipe. People can know what's going on. But we're going to get started here in just about 2 or 3 minutes. But that's just a quick overview for folks that are listening right now. Because we realized, we went, wait, our Noom Twitter account just broke 7,000 followers. And there's some that are not, they're new to crypto. And so we thought it'd be a good time before all the hype and all the craziness that happens with the markets, this to talk about, you know, all the things that are involved in crypto, because it's that old Uncle Ben saying of with great responsibility comes, no, what is it? Great power comes great responsibility. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Pritesh, is that how's that sit with you tonight?
I like that, man. That could be a potential catchphrase, you know, for you. With great power comes great responsibility. I love that. But yeah, that sounds great, man. Also, congrats to Project Noom for breaking 7K. I didn't realize that.
Yes, I've discovered the soundboard on Twitter now.
I love it.
I'll use awesome. I promise to use it judiciously. So I promise I won't go crazy with the soundboard, but I do feel like that took a little bit of that was necessary. So are you back in Hotlanta area?
Yep. I am back in Hotlanta. I've got a week and then I'm heading out. Yeah, big stuff coming up, man. It's going to be good. I'm just, making sure that the stake pools are up to date. So there's a hard fork coming, which is something that, you know, the normal user doesn't have to really worry so much about, but us SPOs got to make sure that everything's up to date. So getting that all sorted, and then all the stuff on the, you know what's coming down the pipeline. So yeah, man, just trying to get everything sorted.
No small feat. Yes. That's completely okay.
Yes.
I see NFT Shorts. Nice to see you. And then Bizarre. I guess that's how I'm going to – I feel like you should add some type of accent so we know how it's either Baza or Bizarre or it's all even. So, oh, we got some new folks hopping on. Yes, if you wouldn't mind, y'all tweet the space out, get everybody out so we can get – as much exposure on this as we can, because I really, really think that Pritesh is gonna drop some good. Well, and I can talk about this too, but we're gonna drop some good information that I think people need to hear, and in particular, they need to hear it before the craziness ensues. That honestly, to me, is our. So Pritesh and I, we've both been in the space since 2017, and you know, I've gone through my share of, I was investing around 2017, but I was following crypto 2014. I was still in grad school, and was eating, I wish I'd have eaten more ramen and bought more Bitcoin. But I didn't. But that doesn't mean I wasn't following. So, you know, I've watched market cycles happen, and the key to success, is having a game plan before euphoria sets in. And also, as more and more things happen with NFTs and mainstream adoption and all the things that go on with, quote, crypto, or for some that aren't even really crypto, you need to have some best practices in place, right? And that's there's a balance between convenience and
and basically, you know, the whole crypto ethos. And we can talk about that too, because actually it's pretty much a philosophical discussion. And as a project for Noom, we talk about this quite a bit. And, you know, for us as a company, we're very much on the consumer side of the equation. It needs to be a good user experience. And anybody in the crypto space that's building projects, they need to have that. But from a personal use case, I'm over here with a password manager, a FIDO key, a hardware wallet, X, Y, and Z, right, of layers of things. And I'm cool with that, right? So there's a balancing act, though, but for most people in crypto. So there's lots of things to chit-chat about. And I actually just really think it's important for us to do that. And Pritesh, you're so good at creating content that's consumable for non-crypto people, and also crypto people, but breaking it down, and we don't dumb it down, but you can still talk, to people at their level and meet them where they're at. So I wanted this to take some time before all hell breaks loose, because Q2 and Q3 are going to be fun times, both for just for Project Noom in and of itself, but also I think the market in general is going to be very interesting. So I just think it's good for us to take time to do that. So let's give ourselves about 30 more seconds and then we'll get going. And if anybody wants to request speaker and come up here and ask some questions, or you have any questions, whether it's directly related to Noom or your crypto journey, and you want to ask, what our best practices are, I'm more than happy for us to answer those questions. Gary, it's so nice to see you, man. Thanks for swinging by. Also, just everybody, heads up, we have another new monster drop happening this this week. We also have another artist dropping with Noom coming up. That's on the books. We haven't released anything with that yet, but just know that other one's lined up. We currently have an ongoing sale right now, though, and that's Danketsu with Mirai Music, and you all need to check it out because it's freaking awesome, and it's great workout music, amongst other things too. So the production quality is fantastic. So that's currently live right now, so make sure you go check that out. Noom.io, it's right there on the front page. You can buy three different types of bundles, ranging from 8 ADA, I want to say, up to 52. Don't quote me on the top number. But basically, they sold 92% of the total streaming royalty income. They put 92% of it up for sale, and that's in 9,200 bundles. And so that's how that layout is. So go and check it out. Go take a listen to the music. If you like it, do more than just be a fan. Be a part of that journey, and be a part of that ownership, and help that musician, help those musicians keep going forward. Because I actually think it's going to get quite a few streams, because it's really, really good production quality. So just as an FYI. Okay, Pritesh, let's get it started, man. So, blockchain education, best practices in crypto. What's the first thing that pops in your head? Go.
Okay, so first thing that pops in my head is get a hardware wallet. I think that just from a best practice standpoint, we talk about not your keys, not your crypto. I think that pretty much hits the nail on the head. Of course, you can go the route of creating a new wallet, generating a seed phrase and going that route. But I think that having that hardware, that ledger, that Trezor device just really gives you that extra level of protection. And then if we think about, the different ways where you're able to buy crypto, I think that for many new people coming in, some of their first encounters with crypto are going to be on platforms like Coinbase, Cash App. A lot of these platforms that they're already using for other things, like with Cash App, I know that I use that to buy Bitcoin, but you can also go in there and purchase stocks, or you can link up your debit card and, send payments directly from your bank. So there's quite a few on and off ramps right now. But I think that in terms of getting new people in the space, it's going to be those big players right now that have already got the infrastructure built that are going to allow people to get access to crypto. So then there comes the question, well, if you're coming new into crypto, you may not know about all these things. Where do you go to get up to speed? So that's something we're working on. Ryan, I was actually mentioning this to you when we were hanging out this past weekend, the Cardano 101 course. So something that I've been thinking a lot of is, I've been making these YouTube videos for quite a while, and I think it's great. There's so many amazing content creators now that are actively engaged with the community, creating content to help new people get up to speed. But I think that for, you know, a new person that's getting into the space, it's like, it's so overwhelming, right? Where do you start? You know, you can go and search, how do you buy crypto? But then what do you do from there? So I think that the idea of creating a platform to have an A to Z style format where a user can go watch a video and then basically just walking through the entire crypto journey from buying crypto, getting it off the exchange, putting it on a hardware wallet. In this case, we're talking about Cardano, you know, finding a good stake pool, delegating it to that stake pool. So all that good stuff. But Ryan, to answer your question, man, went off a little bit of a tangent there. Yeah, I would say Ledger. You know, let's get people hardware devices. Let's get them educated on how to take their crypto off the exchanges. I think that's probably the best place to start.
No, I love that. If anybody doesn't know this, when you're first introduced to crypto, you probably hear the term, not your keys, not your crypto. The long and the short of it is, if you don't write down a seed phrase of either 12, 15, 20, whatever, one words, you don't control your wallet, which means theoretically that somebody else can control the assets that are in your wallet. And that's a problem, theoretically, if you want to custody your own stuff. And just so we all know, self-custody, right, means that you control your keys, which means you're the only person that knows that secret phrase to regenerate your wallet. And that freaks out some people. So for Neum, right, we understand that from a mass adoption perspective, not everybody needs to have that level of stress. Let me just use that word, stress. From the grandma test or grandpa test, that would be very stressful to know, wait, if I lose these words, this arbitrary list of words, then I lose my entire value that's in my wallet and I can't get it back, right? When you tell them that, that can be, well, that can be just an extreme barrier to entry to the space, right? So there's two sides there's two camps, right? You never give custody away, or you trust a middle party, a third party to potentially hold those keys. So if something happens and you forget them, you know, there's a place where they're at to where somebody else has supposedly kept them safe for you and taken on that risk. And so, you know, we go the route of, we want low barrier to entry, which means probably custodial solution for the wallet. And that's okay, right? That doesn't mean you can't send your assets off that wallet to a non-custodial solution. But we just think for users that are inside the app, they need that experience of having the option to have a custodial solution, so they don't have to stress, and I keep using that word, about losing keys, right? So I'm with you on that, Pritesh. So for me, my next big thing that actually comes up, and this wasn't a thing. If you're a digital native versus a non-digital native, this actually might hit a little different. But, you know, early, like turn of the century, how many passwords did you have, right? How many different websites required it? Fast forward, how many websites require two-factor authentication? Fast forward, how many people use their cell number as their two-factor authentication? Then you see another danger of SIM swap attacks. So then who went to two-factor authentication applications, right? And so that whole evolution of passwords and authenticating and gaining access or losing access, more and more value is associated online now for people, right? And more and more of your portfolio or what is part ownership with your person is stored online. And it only lives in a digital format. And so for me, password manager is a big, big thing for your digital footprint and doing anything with crypto. And if anybody's been watching what's going on, there was a big issue with LastPass. They were breached. Their security was breached. and that's terrifying. Now, you know, there are people with really, really strong master passwords. But those passwords were, a lot of them, or at least the accounts, they were breached. So that, you know, a hacker could get access potentially to all the passwords. And so I'm not saying, well, I am saying do not use LastPass because that's no good anymore. I do use a password manager. And if you're on iCloud or use an Apple product, they have a built-in keychain that you can theoretically use if you want to. But personally, I like to use Keeper, K-E-E-P-E-R, and as a password manager system. It also has an option for built-in two-factor authentication. So you can do like that six-digit code, like Google Authenticator. It also can do that and generate that for each account, each password. But I think if anybody's online and you're just getting into crypto, you're going to have a lot of websites you go to, a lot of things you interact with, a lot of spending passwords for your mobile or your browser-based wallets, if you have that added level of security. And you don't want the same password everywhere. And you don't want yourself to try to come up with something, because as much as you don't want to have bias, you're human. You're going to be influenced, right? And so we associate patterns. So I would highly suggest using a password manager, but be very cautious of what you use. And so Keeper, from my opinion, is probably one of the best because of how they handle data. It's very siloed. So I would say Keeper, and then two-factor authentication, not using your SIM, not using a cell phone number as your second authentication, because that can too easily be basically it's a hack via human, right? Somebody can call in and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I lost my SIM card, can you please send me a new one? And that happened, right? So if I were you, call your carrier and say you must provide a master password to make any changes to SIM. So that way you can't get SIM locked, just as a best practice. Protest, what are your thoughts on that? Is that high up on your list or what?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. In terms of a password manager, like I use a lot of Apple devices, so the Apple keychain is pretty good. But then, you know, the one that you were suggesting as well, I've also heard some good things about it. Crazy to think about, though, you know, LastPass having that security breach. So I guess it's just it's on the user, right, to be able to vet a lot of these different platforms in terms of security. And then, you know, it can be even hard to know which ones to trust in that sense as well. So I think that just having your own passwords written down is also something you might want to consider. Like if you're going to write down your 24-word seed phrase, maybe just having something like a pen and paper or a notepad where you have like your Gmail password just written down. Pen and paper goes a long way for some of these things. And, you know, just keeping it simple, right? Just the KISS principle applies in this case as well. But I definitely agree with you there, Ryan. Finding out different ways to stay secure, keeping things offline, and then having multiple backups as well. Definitely a best practice.
For me too, I'll ask you next. So I've given my one. What's your next top thing that pops in your head?
So when it comes to like getting started with crypto, I guess it's just like when a person asks me, like, I'm just going to speak from an instance where I've come across somebody asking me how they can get involved with crypto. I mean, the first thing I'm going to tell them is, well, the first thing you'll need to do is buy crypto. So using a reputable exchange is another thing. I've definitely had some experiences with that where, you know, some of these exchanges have either been hacked or in the instance where, you know, I'm sure some of the people in our chat here have been involved in crypto since last year. 2022 was just a nightmarish year for crypto. I mean, we saw the collapse of FTX. We saw the collapse of Celsius, BlockFi, you know, all these custodial crypto platforms. So that's probably where I would start talking about next is, you know, if you're going to buy crypto, that's great. And being sure that you're able to have your assets in your custody is fantastic. But then, Ryan, you were talking about, you know, some of these platforms that offer the custodial service. The next thing I would suggest to any new people is if you do decide to go with any custodial services, make sure that you're practicing proper risk management. This is something I've had to learn personally as well. And it was a tough lesson to learn. But, you know, once bitten, twice shy, that's typically how these things go. And, you know, just being sure that you're careful about how much assets that you're keeping on these different platforms, making sure that, again, you've got things like Google two-factor authentication or You've got a YubiKey, you know, you've got some type of secondary password management as well, like Ryan was discussing. I think that's the next thing I would suggest is just be very careful about which platforms you keep your crypto on and also how much of it. You know, you don't want all your eggs in one basket in that sense. Something like that, let's say there's a FTX scenario, I feel for all those users that lost funds. You know, it's just heartbreaking to hear some of those stories. But can you imagine, you know, some of these people that had funds on FTX lost millions of dollars, and that was all the crypto that they had. So that's just tragic. And that's definitely something that anybody new coming into crypto, I would say avoid that at all costs. Make sure that you are vetting a lot of these platforms properly. Get your Ledger hardware wallet, not your keys, not your crypto. Make sure you're taking those cryptos off of the exchanges and then keep it in your own custody.
Yeah, I'd piggyback on that real fast. And just to sum it up, exchanges are for trading, not for holding. Do not keep large quantities of crypto on an exchange. That's just sort of it. Because you never know if they're insolvent or they will, if anybody uses Binance, you know, there's many days where they go, oh, no withdrawals for your ADA. It always happens with ADA. But that always typically happens around a hard fork or some type of chain upgrade. So, you know, that's the long and short of it is I only put crypto on an exchange for a short amount of period of time as I need to make my swaps. And then I put it right back on my self-custody wallet, whether that be Giro wallet, Eternal, Nami, Ledger. You know, I mean, you can use your Ledger with those with Eternal, but you get the point. So, Pritesh, you mentioned a FIDO key. You mentioned a YubiKey is what you mentioned, right? for anybody who we first started this talk, we talked about a Ledger, right? And so what does a Ledger do? Essentially, if I'm going to submit a transaction, it adds an extra level of action that's hardware specific, right? So basically, let's just say worst case example, let's say somebody gets your spending password and somebody even gets your seed phrase. Unless they have that ledger, that hardware device to actually physically click those two buttons that say accept the transaction, from that specific piece of hardware, they cannot custody, they can't move those funds. So that's a physical piece of hardware that you have to have on top of the spending password, on top of actually having access to the account. So I could have access to an account with 10 million ADA in it, but I can't send any of them out of the wallet without having the hardware device, the Ledger or Trezor, that device plugged in and accessing that account. In that same vein, a YubiKey is a FIDO key. It's a hardware key. It's a piece of hardware that either wirelessly through Bluetooth or NFC or through USB plugs directly into your phone or your computer that allows you to get access to your keychain of your passwords. So it's that same concept as a ledger, but applied with passwords. So prime example, if for LastPass, if you were hacked in LastPass, but you also had required a two-factor authentication via FIDO key through that YubiKey, then you're still safe. Because unless they have somehow cloned or hacked or grabbed your YubiKey, which that's extremely difficult to do. At that point, then it's called essentially, we call that like the wrench attack. In real life, right? So that is what that is. And so I think if you partner and you pair a hardware ledger device plus a FIDO key with your password manager and two-factor authentication, that is about as secure in doing your due diligence as possible as far as self-custodying your crypto. And look, let me say this. And Pritesh, I'd love your input on this. When I first started this, you know, I bought, I don't know, $5,000 worth of ADA. That was like my first purchase in crypto was December the 10th, 2017. I will never forget it. I went on Coinbase and I bought Bitcoin first because that's all I could buy first. And then I went to Binance and then I bought ADA because I saw Charles's whiteboard video, right? And so I mean, at that point, that price point, it was really, really cheap. And so, you know, $5,000 at like 2 cents a token, you know, you go, okay, great. Well, you got to think the crypto, the things that you have in your possession nowadays that might not be from a dollar standpoint be worth that much. In 5 years' time, that could be quite expensive. And look, don't skimp on security. I will say that time and time again. If you can manage to buy some crypto, even before before you even buy any crypto, I would say you need to buy your hardware wallet first. You owe it to yourself and to your future self to not make, potentially a million dollar mistake by not spending $100, right? So just as an FYI, that's just my little diatribe on that. So I would say from a protection standpoint, that's where I'm at. And look, yeah, it sounds cumbersome, but get in the practice of it. It doesn't take that long. But I will say one thing, and I'll let Pritesh talk to this. Pritesh visited me this week, so we got to hang out this weekend. But he sat and watched me click my ledger 194 times in a row because I had 194 unique assets on a wallet that I was trying to transfer on Eternal. There's NFTs. That's what we're talking about. My God, my thumbs were falling off. So just, we'll talk more about that in a little bit about like best practices from where do you keep your NFTs and how do you interact on Cardano, because they can be cumbersome. And we did a test on the ledger, a stress test to see if it would break by trying to process 194 clicks for individual NFTs from one wallet to another. So Pritesh, do you have any other final comments about the security aspect of that?
No, that was definitely a fun time. I think his thumbs built some callus after all those clicking. But no, man, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think that all those points that you mentioned are just best practices. I guess if we're talking about segueing into some of the aspects of keeping assets on a ledger device, I guess, you know, since you were saying, you know, clicking through 194 tokens on a ledger, that's a little bit of a pain. But, you know, I think something that could have been used, I guess, as a way to remedy that is like, let's say you just have an NFT wallet. You know, I guess in this case, the ledger is where you had a lot of funds that, you know, you just wanted to keep offline cold storage. And that's great. I think that, you know, maybe if we're talking about NFTs, maybe some people are coming into crypto because they're like, hey, Cardano has NFTs, which is really cool. You know, I think it's great. A lot of these projects are PFP projects, and I love what Noom is doing with this idea of fractionalization of IP and then using the NFTs with that. So, you know, I think that Noom is really providing the utility for these non-fungible and fungible tokens. But granted, here we are, you know, we've got these PFP projects that are bringing a lot of people into crypto. So in that instance, I feel like what a lot of people may consider is, let's say you have a majority of your holdings, let's say whatever you just want to hold for the long term on a ledger device, you know, you're just going to set it and forget it. You're not going to touch it. You're going to just put the funds on the ledger, tuck it away, lock and key, and then never look at it again. And that's totally fine. But then you've got some wallets which you may be using on a daily basis. I mean, we've got projects like Drip Drops, where we've got users coming in and dripping these tokens every epoch, every 5 days. You know, they're dripping consistently, and that's really great. We want people to use the blockchain, use these different projects that are building. But then there comes a question, well, you know, do I do that with the ledger? And like Ryan was saying, the user experience could use a little bit of work there, you know, clicking through all those different tokens, because basically, just to keep it short and sweet, what we're trying to do is confirm a transaction, but the UTXO within this transaction contained all these tokens. So, you know, going through and confirming each one of these tokens can be very cumbersome. So what I would say to that is, let's say you have a wallet which you want to use for your NFTs. Maybe a good idea to just create the 24-word seed phrase. Like if you go to Eternal and you click on create new wallet, it's going to generate a list of seed phrase or a list of words for your seed phrase. So might be a good idea to just have that as like your NFT wallet. I know that's what I do personally is like I've got several different wallets, one that I'll use for dripping on drip drops, one that I'll use for keeping my NFTs, one that I've got specifically for long-term storage, which is what I've got for my Ledger. So there's different ways you can play it. Of course, with the Ledger, you've got the extra security, but then when it comes to actually using the wallet and having to confirm a transaction, it could be a little bit cumbersome. So that's what I would say to that, Ryan, is, you know, just seeing what we had to go through this past weekend, you were trying to do something so simple as sign a transaction, probably a best practice to break up your different wallets, depending on what you're using it for. And like I was saying, you know, if you've got NFTs, maybe have that in one wallet, keep another one with a little bit of ADA so that you can drip every 5 days and then just go about it like that. But of course it is dependent on what you're using the blockchain for. Let's say you're a stake pool operator, you know, somebody like myself, you're running nodes here, you've got your keys on, say like a Ledger for your pledge, right? But then let's say you want to sign a transaction, you can use the Cardano CLI, have a little bit of ADA in your public address, and you know, you're able to just interact with the blockchain that way, doing different things like sending assets, receiving assets and whatnot. So it depends on your use cases, what you're using the blockchain for, but that's just something I would suggest is have multiple wallets depending on what you're going to have inside them.
Let me break that down for anybody listening. CLI, Cardano CLI command line, basically. So there's no pretty buttons. You got to type in scripts or run scripts or whatnot. So that might be not to this particular audience, but Pritesh's point is well made. I would actually consider viewing your hardware wallet. When we say hardware wallet, we mean a ledger, a Trezor, et cetera, right? View that as a savings account / a safety deposit box, to where it's a smidgen cumbersome, more or less safety deposit box, to where it's a smidgen cumbersome to go and get, you know, instant access to it. Like you have to, you know, takes a little effort, and arguably more secure. I would say treat a mobile wallet. Right. So like for us, Sean from Jibra Wallet is actually on the Noom team. If any, some people don't actually know that. Sean, the founder of Jibra, he's on the Noom team. So he does user research. But, you know, we suggest using Jibra Wallet for newbies to the crypto space because it handles NFTs really well. And it just has a really beautiful UI, UX on it. Sean's done a great job with that, but it's simple. It's not a Swiss Army knife like Eternal, which can be a little overwhelming to newbies to crypto in general, right? But that type of wallet, I would treat that as the wallet I'm okay being around people with, if that makes sense, right? So if somebody came at you with a wrench attack, let's just use that example, and people laugh at this, but guys, last bull market, that happened. Like there were people that like they flaunted some type of screenshot in front of somebody at a bar and they were on their way out, and lo and behold, they get kidnapped and held ransom until they gave their seed phrase access. Like it's a real thing. So stay safe, and don't get too crazy don't get too euphoric and be stupid whenever prices start going up, again. But essentially, treat that mobile wallet as if somebody were to come after you and go, give me your wallet. If you lost all the stuff in that wallet, it wouldn't be detrimental to your position, right? Don't use that as your, hey, I'm going to interact with some dApp. I'm going to go drip. I'm going to go do, you know, some type of DEX swap or something like that, or provide liquidity for something. You know, use that for that. And if you want to hold your NFTs or trade those, use that type of wallet for that. But for long-term storage, use that more cumbersome, I got to have a hardware key, right? So that's just my opinion on how I would go about doing that. And Pritesh, maybe you have different thoughts on it. There's even the really hardcore people who choose to go through the painful process of downloading Daedalus, that full node client, and generating just a paper wallet, to where you don't even really have access. You just have your wallet address and you can go and restore it anywhere you want to, but it doesn't actually even live pulled up on any wallet. Actually, you don't have that pulled up anywhere. So those are the real hardcore folks, but that's neither here nor there. So just as an FYI, in reference to how you treat your wallets, I think that's a great suggestion. So yeah, Pritesh, any last words about wallets?
I would say you did actually touch on this, Ryan, with like, let's say you wanted to use a wallet to interact with a certain dApp. A lot of these wallets, like I know NAMI is great. You had touched on Jiro wallet, which is also really good. You were actually showing me a little bit of the mobile UI, which is really clean. So yes, I would agree with you there. You know, looking at it from a user's perspective, it's super easy to navigate. And especially if you're going to have it on mobile, you know, you can just enable the collateral for this wallet so that you can interact with different dApps. And, you know, you bought an NFT or you posted one for sale on JPEG Store, and I saw you do it in real time all on your phone, which is incredible, right? Like, that's what we want. We want these super easy to use user interfaces that are just like user friendly. You know, that's really what it comes down to. So I agree with you there, man. Just a lot of best practices in terms of wallets. I would say break it up, make it a little bit more cumbersome for your long-term storage, but then the stuff that you want to interact with on a more regular basis, best to use things like NAMI. NAMI is actually really good. You know, Alexander has put a lot of work into that. Then you got Eternal, Jiro, like you're talking about, but yeah, man, a lot of great points there.
And I will say, and not that I'm a little biased, but I do think Jiro from a mobile standpoint, handles the Neum, the Neum stream tokens, quite well. So the UI on that is quite nice. So just as an extra FYI, but you know, Sean's kind of in the weeds with our team, so he knows what's going on. So it's nice to have that partnership and that buy-in. So, okay. So we've talked password security, talked about hardware. We talked about wallets. What's next on your list?
I think a lot of people, especially in our community, are going to be interested, you know, after they've maybe bought some ADA, what else can you do with it? Well, I would say the next best thing is probably stake it to a pool, you know, helping to decentralize the Cardano network by delegating it to a community stake pool is fantastic. So I would say that's probably the next thing I would suggest. And, you know, a lot of people, they ask me like, well, how do I know which stake pool to delegate to? And of course, you know, we've got our stake pools. I know, Ryan, you've got the Neum and Neumex stake pool. So it really depends on what you're building within the ecosystem. And I would say to a lot of new people coming in, take a look on Twitter, reach out to people, go on Discord, go on Telegram, and find people that you resonate with. I think that Cardano now has become such a huge ecosystem, such a big community, that it's almost like we have these sub-communities within this broader Cardano ecosystem. And I think that's great, you know, because we've got people with different interests, right? Maybe somebody wants to delegate to a mission-driven stake pool that donates rewards to charity. Maybe they want to delegate to a stake pool that's run on bare metal. They want to support decentralization. Well, let's say they want to support a stake pool that is eco-friendly. Maybe they run on renewable energy. You know, there's so many different things. And I think that what I would say to new users coming in, once you get those basics down, right, like you've secured your funds, you've, you know, figured out how to keep your keys, I would say the next thing after that is reach out to people, you know, talk to different people who are building within the ecosystem. Figure out where your interests are aligned. Like if you're an artist, you know, you can reach out to different community stake pools that are doing cool things for artists. You know, because one thing that's very interesting is like, if you look at the different stake pools that have attracted delegation, these exchange stake pools are very interesting to keep an eye on. I know some of the biggest are like Binance. They've got so much ADA and they've got quite a few stake pools as well. Like they're like the biggest multi-pool operator on Cardano. So, you know, just by taking your ADA off Binance, you're helping to support decentralization. Then you've got eToro. You've got all these different exchanges where, you know, once you get past that basic level of understanding, okay, I got to keep my keys. I think that's what I would suggest, Ryan, is reach out to people, talk to as many people as you can, figure out what interests you, and support the community stake pool, which you would like to grow with long term.
Amen to that. And one quick note about staking with Cardano. you're hearing this narrative now that ETH is on ETH 2.0, and they're talking about unlocking the stake after two freaking years, and they're starting the first testnet of three. So hopefully, theoretically, you should be able to unlock some of the ETH in around March, April, but it's not all. That you're hearing this term, liquid staking, which I just find hilarious because it's all about brand. It's all about narrative. Cardano has always had, quote, liquid staking. That's the beauty of it. You'd never, and that's one other thing. If anybody's wondering, Cardano, why Cardano? I've had so many talks about why Neum is building on Cardano. That's actually not one of them, to be honest with you, right? We do it because we need high assurance code. We need predictable fees because you can't do that with a gas fee model. And we need native assets. Those are the three really, really big things of why we chose to build on Cardano. But just as an extra aside for anybody wondering, you never lose custody of your crypto if you're in a non-custodial wallet, right? If you've written down your seed phrase and you have Eternal Open, Nami Open, Giro Open, I'm not going to use Yoroi because what are they even doing? If you have Daedalus Open, right? Like, you have an option. You can search any of the stake pools and choose any of them to delegate your ADA to, and it never leaves your custody. And you can unstake it at any time. You can pull out as much ADA as you want to at any point in time. So we've had liquid staking before the term liquid staking was even what it was. So just as an extra FYI, for anybody that's new to crypto, that's the beauty of one of the beautiful things about this particular chain. So anywho,
off Ryan, stated. If I could piggyback on that idea, I think that's a great thing to mention. One of the things that I've definitely encountered, and I'm sure many people that are in our chat right now can also attest to, is that you've probably had somebody in your DMs talking to you about how, you know, they're doing this NFT drop, you know, join us in our Discord to get exclusive access or what have you. In addition to getting up to speed with how the staking works, you know, you're not necessarily locking your funds. Another best practice is, I would say, just be very careful as it comes to potential scams out there. I've definitely run into the instances where, you know, you're going to be reaching out to somebody and, you know, they're posing as this person. Like, a lot of people are, you know, impersonating me a lot of times. You know, I've had people DM me. They're like, hey, did you just reach out to me talking to me about how we can earn extra ADA? So that's definitely happened. And unfortunately, people who may not be aware about how staking on Cardano works end up sending their ADA to these people and getting scammed, right? So that's one thing I would say is just be very careful about who you're listening to, who you're talking to. When in doubt, you can always reach out to a lot of these people like myself. You know, if you ever have a question, I do my best to make my DMs open and reply in a timely manner. But it's just a matter of making sure that you're not in such a hurry to take advantage of that. Oh, wow, this guy told me I could get 100% return, but I have to act within the next 24 hours. You know, it's never like that. It's never going to be the case where you're going to miss out, right? So don't have that FOMO. Just take a deep breath, take it slow, because a lot of times if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And I know we've heard that a lot, but in terms of crypto, I love the soundboard, man. It's great. It's working well. That's what I would say to that.
Well, okay, you brought up a good point, and I do want to talk about scams here for just a second. For anybody that's new to the space, here, learn from me. I have been involved in pump and dump Telegram groups. I've tried that out. I have also done the send me something, and I'll send you X amount more of something else. I've done that. Let me see, what else have I done? Just for the in the name of science, because I thought, well, heck, if I lose $100, well, maybe it won't be so bad. That's completely first world problems, and I completely understand that. So know that I know that from Jump Street. But listen, in a bear market, they don't really push these so much. But as crypto grows in adoption, and we see the fresh influx of fresh meat that are new to the space, you're going to see the Telegram groups signal channels pick up. You're going to see the join us, and we'll tell you about this coin to buy before it pumps. You'll see those pick up. You'll see them going, hey, pay X amount of Bitcoin and we get access to this Telegram signal channel. That happens all the time. Like all that stuff, just leave it alone. Don't do it. Just despite the urge, do not do it. Just in reference to scams. And one other thing that we haven't seen much of in Cardano, but we're going to see a lot more, there's going to be trash projects. There will be trash projects. They will happen. They will come. They will try to take your ADA, and then they fade away into oblivion. So for anybody that is researching projects that you want to follow more or invest in, or to you just like what they're doing, whatever, you need, if the here, there's a couple of things. One, find if it's an actual company. Two, find if they are doing actual development, find if they have a GitHub. One of the biggest things is if the team is not public, and you don't have real people and you just have PFPs and you can't find the real people, I would be very cautious unless it's for a very specific, unless the team is keeping the real world people away, like their identities kept for a very specific reason. Be careful. That honestly is one of my, if I'm looking at projects to follow, if I don't know who the team is, I really, unless it has to be something really stellar for me to continue diving down that rabbit hole. Because if it's not worth putting your name on it, then it's probably not worth me spending my time on, to be honest with you. So as y'all get, as more and more native assets pop up on the chain and more projects start coming out of the blue, be weary. And look for those things. And also, Cardano is going cross-chain, right? We're already talking with Cosmos. We already have an Ethereum bridge, you know, potentially Algorand. We're trying to be that central hub because there are benefits to having your token represented on Cardano. Like there are benefits, not the least of which is there's added liquidity. And you need to be very cautious of, if there's some random project that all of a sudden is like, where'd this come from? Oh, it was an Ethereum project. What? They came over here? What? Why? Question those things, because there will be projects that come to the ecosystem to just pull liquidity for whatever they're looking to do. So that's just one diatribe about scams that I think people should be aware of. They happen, you know, and don't be a statistic if you can help it. So if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So, Pritesh, any other big points that we want people to know coming into the space?
Well, I think we touched on quite a bit here, Ryan. Not your keys, not your crypto, having multiple backups, using a password manager, getting your crypto off exchanges, delegating to a pool, multiple wallets.
Hardware keys.
Hardware keys. Yep. Yep. One thing I did just want to shameless plug right here, Ryan, if I can real quick. Something that I'm working on is a course. So Cardano 101 is something that I've been pretty quiet on YouTube lately. You know, haven't really been able to upload much. Just my situation personally is in a transition phase. But I'm still in the process of creating this course. So that's something that I'm also very excited about, because I think it's going to provide a platform for new users to get up to speed, you know, all the things we're talking about, giving them a platform to see everything step by step. So keep an eye out for that as well. Hopefully it's something that the community does find value from. And then hopefully in the future, we'll be able to put out a Cardano 201, where we go even deeper into a lot of these projects.
Don's Coyote. That's a great handle, man. How are you tonight? And I hope everything's well. What's going on?
Hey, I've been in the space for quite some time, and fortunately, I've only had a couple rugs under my belt, so I think my filter is pretty good. So I was going to give just a few more things that I think should be kind of at your base level filter when you're, whether it's looking into NFT projects or DeFi or, you know, anything that populates in the space. Like, you have to think in kind of the mindset of a scammer, right? The scammer is going to try to put the least amount of time or effort for the most amount of reward. So a lot of times you'll see this on websites that are really cheap or free domains. You'll see it on like newly created accounts. That's usually a red flag, right? You can usually tell like new Twitter accounts and ones that are not being followed by many, but have like hundreds or thousands of followers. So there's a lot of easy ways that scammers can deploy just a little bit of revenue to get a lot of people in kind of their clutches. So I would look for misspellings, bad English, newly created websites, newly created social media accounts, outlets that they're using are free. So if it looks like it's low effort, even when it comes to the art quality, if it looks like it was very easy to generate, a lot of times those are going to be your rugs. I mean, there's some that people get behind and they become kind of like meme culture and people don't necessarily like the art, but they think it's funny or whatever. So, you know, things will go up in value like that. But in general, I would say that 99% of those types of projects are going to probably go through this little pump and dump cycle, like any altcoin or newly created thing on DeFi, and then just go to zero. And it was funny because I was talking to someone about this the other night, and AI has gotten so easy because you have to think about it from a scammer standpoint. Now you can use AI to generate things and create projects. You can even go so far as writing a like heartwarming rug last message on Discord. And I was doing that. So I my prompt was like, write a heartwarming 300-word message to your community about not being able to deliver your project. And it sounded exactly like 90% of the ones that I've seen rug over the years. And I've seen hundreds of rugs. So that would just be my two cents on kind of improving your filter when you get into this space.
I think that's great advice. Seriously, thank you for pointing that out. I think people, in reference to newly made accounts or accounts with lots of followers, think about this. If an account has 25,000 followers, but they tweet something and maybe they have 10 people that actually engage with said tweet, that's not right. Something doesn't add up, right? So, you know, you can buy followers, you can buy accounts, those are bots, right? So
yeah, I mean, you can even buy bots that react to emojis on Discord to make it look like people are really excited for each announcement. So you just have to think of what's behind the scenes and what's the motivation for the person making the project. You have to be very vigilant about what their plans are and what they're doing.
No doubt. Thanks for that extra input. I don't disagree with you completely. So, like, I mean, y'all know at Noom, half of it's kind of, we need to work on the mobile on this. But when you're on mobile and you're looking at the team, you have to keep scrolling because there's so many daggum people on there. But everybody has a LinkedIn profile, and it's all our contact info, right? So, look for teams that are doxed. I think that's a shorthand answer. You want a doxed team. Yeah, you want to know who's working on this stuff 9 times out of 10, right? So I'm with you. Unless you're Satoshi, the group, or the person / whoever created Monero, we salute you. So, Pritesh, any other things you want to add? I know we're coming up to that almost that 1 hour time, and we've covered a lot. I honestly feel like this is good to just chat about that for anybody that's new to crypto, because I mean, Noom, we're so focused on bringing new people into the space, right? So, and there's a lot of projects that are focused on that. Book.io, InMaker, you know, it's all about bringing in non-crypto people into crypto, and so we're right in that. And so I think as that happens, the things that all of you that are here listening take for granted because you've been in the space, it will not be so evident to newbies, especially those who buy their crypto off of what's that custodial solution that you could buy Dogecoin off of once upon a time. I don't know. You bought it, but you swiped and you could have it. And it was definitely not custodial. And so people thought they had crypto, but they didn't, because they couldn't move their crypto off of it.
I'll have to think of it later. So
Robinhood?
Yes. Spot on. Thank you, Don. Yes, Robinhood. Yeah, you'll have one of those experiences for people, and that's not what we want. So anything else, Pratesh, before we get ready to close the space out? I also see Space Lady down there. It's good to see you. JPEG Coffee, I like your account name. And Ready Player One, is always good to see you.
Yep. I think it was a great space, Ryan. Just in closing, big shout out to everybody here. I see we got Mad Bull as well. Just a lot of really great people in this group. And what I would say in closing is just, as we've talked about all these different best practices, when in doubt, reach out. That's definitely been my motto. It's something that I've been telling a lot of people who come to me and ask questions. When in doubt, just reach out. And that goes for a lot of community members, just coming to these Twitter spaces. I know Ryan is also very helpful with people who want to learn more about Noom and getting musicians up to speed. If you do have any questions for me as well, maybe you want to learn more about some things that we're doing, just reach out. Reach out on Twitter, reach out on Telegram, Discord, even on YouTube. If you leave a comment, I'll just do my best to respond. So that's what I would say. And, Ryan, you actually touched on this. Look for the projects that have teams that are doxed, in terms of being able to see the growth of the community, the ecosystem, and all these projects that are building. Look for the people that are willing to give up their anonymity and show their face, right? That's a big thing as well. So that's what I would say to everybody who's listening and anybody who might be listening to the recording. That's what I would recommend is just reach out for any questions, reach out for any help. If you want to get started in doing something, maybe you want to be an SPO, maybe you have a project that you like to get started building, maybe you just want to bounce some ideas off people, reach out. We'd be more than happy to help.
I got to give a shout out to Tap Tools. They're in the listener down there. Anybody who's researching projects that have tokens on Cardano, I have Tap Tools saved on my desktop. So I use their site on a daily basis. So thank you guys for your contribution. And it's nice to have y'all down there. Just a little bit of info for everybody that's here looking forward ahead. Remind yourselves, this week, new monsters dropping. We've already teased it in the Telegram. make sure you're dripping, doing what you need to do. Also, pull perks to claim that new monster. We have the Donketsu mint that's live right now. They've already sold at least, I think, either 12 or 15%, and it has not been live very long. Guys, that's Mirai Music with Donketsu, which is formerly Ada Ninjas. Their artist that was partnering with them on that, she is a well-known artist. They already have, and this is a different type of person in Cardano community that we minted for, because this is a collective, right? This is a collective of musicians that it's very unique in how they go about creating music. Also, they already have a track record on streaming platforms, so you can go and do your own math if you'd like. So to see how many streams they average and what that looks like, etc. So it's really great music. We also, I think in the next week and a half, we'll be announcing our next artist that we're going to be releasing on Noom. And then, as you all know, the big thing, which we're constantly working towards, and that's driving everything, is that tentative end of Q1 release for the artist portal, that artist management portal. So what does that look like? What does that mean? All the things we're doing for the artist right now that we're releasing, it'll be automated to where we can open it up to any musician to use, to mint, to distribute, to fractionalize, and then to potentially sell. That's what we're working on. And remind yourselves that the product team has all the designs are finalized. We're literally just in the midst of our devs closing tickets and assigning tickets to implement all of the UI, UX stuff in the working actual application. So, and I wish I did show Pratesh some of them when he was here this week. They are sick. I'm just going to throw that out. I'm a little biased. However, it looks damn good. And Noom, we don't do anything halfway. We're big proponents of you get one shot to make a good first impression. This is the same quality. And so I'm just excited to start getting feedback from artists on this. We're getting closer, guys. So I'm just excited because when that happens and we don't have to be a part of the equation, this is going to be really, really cool. But just know current mints going on right now. And then the next one's coming up here pretty daggum soon. Go online to Noom.io and check it out. It's right there on the first opening of the page. I personally have participated in every last one of these sales, because I just, it's amazing. And from a founder's position of this starting in my brain to where now we have, you know, over 1,000 musicians queued up that they're ready. They want to know when it goes live so they can use this. And these are just independent artists, not talking about labels or other artists we're in talks with. It's exciting. So I can tell you the entire team, all 42 something of us, it's we're buzzing. We're busy bees, but everybody's buzzing and working towards that end of Q1 goal to get this pushed out. So the next two quarters are going to be really, really fun. Really, really fun. Yeah. Don, what you got, man?
Can I ask a really specific question? Has Amber VHS from the Disco Solaris crew reached out to you guys? I don't even know if you can say that.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I do know that we did a drop with Nito, right? And so right. Amber and Nito also did something together. And so Amber knows about us. I've reached out to her, and I know we've chatted a little bit. So it's the biggest thing is we have an order that we're releasing artists, right? So, right. And that's right. Part of our artist onboarding team. And so they're lining up basically the drops, because really these drops take a little bit of bandwidth from the team to facilitate. It's our workflow and the tickets and everything, how it goes. It's pretty much, it's ironed out, and it's pretty, we know how it goes. So, but it still takes a little bit of time. So we spaced those out. And this goes into that balancing act of educating, because, you know, if we just turned on our MVP, or the artist portal, if we just opened it up and go, all right, here you go. Nobody would, the artist would go, what is this? I have this distribution, but it's crypto. So we've been doing these drops to, one, give back to the Cardano community. We want to support Cardano artists first, since it's just a way to honor it since we're on this chain. But two, it's been a educational tool. So artists can drop this, the people can understand what it is they're purchasing and realize the value prop in it. And so that's why we're taking time to do these drops in that cadence. So as we build up to the launch of the automation, people are seeing, oh, this is what the product actually is. This is what that, at least this portion of the equation, this is what this looks like, right? So that, I know that didn't specifically answer your question. Yes, I've spoken with her, but I can't say anything else in reference to if and when. So
no problem. It sounds like you guys are taking a very similar path to book.io. So I'm happy to see that you guys are really considering the musical creators already in the Cardano space. And like, I hope that as you guys get more popular and eventually grab some like really, really big names, that you kind of keep the Cardano community creators in your lens too.
No doubt. Well, look, Cardano is this fam. I mean, I know Pritesh and I have both been here since 2017, since before the testnet was even a testnet. So, you know, there's a reason why we're on this chain. It very much aligns with our ethos as a company, and what we're trying to do. So, but to your point, yes, our artist relations team are busy bees. So they have very, they have big networks. And so just as an extra aside, people need to just keep in context. If you look at the, and I'm going to have a small divergence from our blockchain education content for tonight, but just so people get a bigger picture of, and the challenges of crypto in general. And this is not specific to just music. This is to other industries as well. But when you're trying to bridge Web3 and industries that are entrenched in Web2, you have to be formulaic about how you go about building those bridges. And what do I mean by that is you have to be not smarter than the people you're going to try to talk to, but you have to be unthreatening. And you have to be strategic in how you position this whole new tech stack that's going to revolutionize the world. And we all know probably replace all of them. But that's not how you need to come at it when you're trying to work in the now, right? We know what the future looks like. So all that to say is that the larger the entity, or the more high profile the entity, there's a bigger risk. There's a bigger risk aversion. And so you have to be strategic on how you do that. And that's, it's a relational aspect, and it takes time. It's transactional. There are some people like that, but especially distributors, catalog owners, things of that nature, that's very much relational. And so these drops that we're doing right now are showing a lot of people in positions of power that, oh, this is what this is. Oh, there's a market appetite for this. Oh, you mean that we can actually start viewing the music itself as something with tangible value, right? Because right now, right, with the industry, music is the very thing that doesn't generate any income. It's all tours and merch sales. It's everything but the music that seems to, quote, generate value, unless you're talking about selling a catalog, right? So it's a paradigm shift, and it's going to take examples to show, because think about it, people in our space, we're forward thinking, we're visionary, we can think about how we want things to operate better. People that are entrenched or that are the current systems, they see nothing wrong with what they do, or even if they do, they don't care because they're not financially incentivized to fix it because they're good, right? So prime example, a PRO, performance rights organizations, we eventually want to move into other types of IP, right? We're starting with streaming because that's the lowest hanging perceived fruit with the lowest perceived value. And it's the easiest thing to understand out of all the IP. But eventually we want to move into sync. We want to move into mechanical and to masters. And that takes time. And if you want to bridge Web 2 and Web 3, that means you have to play with a PRO, a performance rights organization. Well, the only way that you're going to go about doing that is you have to talk with them about a B2B solution of, hey, we can save you 1% a year, much, but if you're PRO and you're doing $300+ million a year, 2% all of a sudden ain't so small. And so that's the type of ways you have to start thinking about this. And same for the big three labels. I have direct connections with two of them. We've been strategic and choosing when and how we communicate with them based upon where we're at in our product, and where we are with development on things. So all that to say is, everything in its time and everything at its appropriate order. And I think, if I can say, I think Tap Tools, you guys are awesome and doing this yourselves, but you know, I think there's a lot of people that can be visionary. There's a lot of people that can come up with a great idea, but there's the differentiating factor between a great idea and reality is, how do you get from where you are to actually manifesting that idea? You have to be strategic on what's the actual first step, right? Then what's that second step? It's like a game of hopscotch, and you have to know where you're going to get to that end goal. And I think that's something that we have in spades. I think we're very strategic about that. So, you know, it's easy to get in crypto to get micro-focused and forget that we're not in a sprint, we're in a marathon, right? We're planning 5-10 years out from this, not just, you know, next quarter. Next quarter is really exciting because that's when stuff turns on, but it's what then, right? And that's a lot of conversations with legislator, potentially, eventually with other stuff, and then B2B solution, some things. But yeah, all that's on the radar, and it's all part of a bigger picture, right? And so this is that critical first step. And essentially, you know, if this doesn't work, then, well, that sucks for everything else. That's essentially what it amounts to. We got to get this one right. If this doesn't happen right, then everything else is up the creek. But I feel very confident that we're just fine with what we're doing and our decisions to how we're launching. So That's my very roundabout answer, Don. Sorry, you went me. You caused me to go off on a diatribe in all the best ways.
I do what I can.
Any other questions while you're up here? Or if anybody else wants to hop on and request speaker to ask any questions, feel free. I see Stemmy down there. Hello, hello. Let me see. Oh, yeah, I see Adam as well. Nice to see you guys. So, Pritesh, any other thing you want to add? Or are you just soaking it all in or taking it all in?
I am taking it all in, man. Taking it all in.
For anybody wondering, Pritesh, he's been a co-host for Noom Twitter Spaces since the beginning. While he was here over the weekend, we came up with an idea that his tagline is going to be taking it all in. So if anybody wants to send him a taking it all in t-shirt, please feel free. I think that'd be great. So, okay. We've been on for a little bit over an hour. If anybody else has any other questions or comments about what we've spoken about tonight or what we have in the future, feel free to request speaker. I'll give you about 15 seconds to do so. If not, then I'll know it's time to hit the hay. So Tap Tools, super awesome to have you here tonight. I'm honored. You guys are doing great work. So thank you for swinging by. Ready Player One, always good to see you. Stimmy, I just have nothing but love for you. Don, great input from the discussion tonight. I thought that was a great point you made about spam and bots. So thank you for adding to that. Mad Bull, don't do anything crazy. Don't get thrown out of any rooms. We hope you are doing well. Sending you all the love. So, okay, I see nothing else. Pritesh, any final words before we hop off?
No. Thank you to everybody for joining us today. I thought it was a great space. Learned a lot, of course. I love these Noom Twitter spaces. Shout out to everybody joining us. I hope you all have a great week. And can't wait to chop it up again at the next Twitter space.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, also one other thing. I do think that we're going to start because I enjoyed doing this from last week. Please give us feedback. We did a YouTube live last week with Mirai Music and Don Ketsu to talk with the artist. Pritesh and I sat on the couch and did like a couch confessional thing on YouTube with them. And I absolutely loved it. And I feel like we had good feedback. But if you guys want, leave us some comments in the Twitter thread. If you have any thoughts about that, so would love to get some feedback. All right, that's all I got, guys. You all stay safe until next week. We'll see you all on Monday next week. Pritesh is not going to be with us. He's going to be traveling. He'll be out of the country, so we might have somebody else on tomorrow next week. So, just as an FYI, stay tuned, everybody. All right, cheers.
Take care, everybody.